Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center.
So the title of my message this morning is Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. We're going to key in on, though, the main verse is Romans 7, 15. Romans 7, 15. Now, have you ever heard of the expression, between a rock and a hard place? She raised her hand. Amen. She heard it. So most of us have used that expression, but what does it really mean? So I looked it up. What's wonderful about Google is you can look up things and get any explanation. So the Google says this. Between a rock and a hard place is facing two equally unpleasant, dangerous, or risky alternatives where the avoidance of one ensures the encounter of the harm of the other. In other words, there's two choices. One is bad, one is worse. Right? For example, I'll give you an example. I was between a rock and a hard place, for I didn't take out another loan, where if I didn't take out another loan and go deeper into debt, I could not pay off the debts I already owed. So in other words, that example is I'm in debt. That's not good. I'll take out another loan to go into further debt. That's really not good. So they're both bad choices. They're not good choices. They were between a rock and a hard place. And that is not good financial advice, is it, brothers and sisters? No. But I would venture to say many Christians feel this way. Many Christians feel they're between a rock and a hard place because when we get saved, immediately what we're told is we have to look at our sin, right? We got to look at our behavior. We got to look at ways to make it that we're not going to be sinning and be holy. So we try and we try. We always look at these three areas, I find, to try to live the Christian life and not sin. This is what we do. To try to avoid sinning, we attempt to keep the law. And what we'll notice that, and I'll explain it again, I explained it last week, when you try to do that, it instills further sin and arouses more sin and more wrongdoing. So that doesn't work. To avoid sinning, we rely on self-effort. Self, Brother Sherry, right? Self in ministry, self in life. Doesn't work, right? Doesn't work. Results in a stagnation, same, nothing moving, nothing changes, or maybe perhaps more sin. To avoid sinning, we try this, to gain biblical knowledge. Right, brother? We go, we read books. We learn all about Christ. We learn all about the Bible, all doctrines and all that. But what happens? Mental technical knowledge doesn't translate to the heart, amen? And there's still no transformation, and there's still sin. So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. What do we do? Who do we choose? What do we ask? What do we do? Okay? We can't keep the law. Keeping the law doesn't work, but we try. We rely on self-effort. Doesn't work, but we try. We try to gain knowledge as victory. It's okay to gain knowledge, but it doesn't give us the victory over sin. For example, what we say, we saw last week in Romans 7, right, about the law. Paul said, 7:5, a law arouses sin. He said, I didn't know what coveting was until they told me not to covet, right? 10th commandment in Exodus. By him trying not to covet, it made him want to covet. See that? Talked about that last week. Okay. Self-effort may result in, doesn't result in victory. There's no victory there. Because God said, if you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need me. Amen? He wants you to be his source of life and living. You know, and then gaining biblical knowledge, there's nothing wrong with learning about Christ and all that. Nothing wrong. Doesn't give victory because it stays in our mind unless it's transferred to our heart when God says he reveals these truths to you and you believe it. Otherwise, you're stuck. So most of us have entered into the Christian life very happy, at peace when we get saved. But automatically, right away, something happens. We find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. Have you experienced that?
Yes.
Have you experienced that? I know I have. Paul experienced it in this passage we're going to look at today. He was a Pharisee prior to salvation, right? And as a Christian, as an apostle, he experienced it. He talks about it in Romans 7, 14 to 25. And now I'm going to identify the three reasons that he identified in this passage today. Here are the three main reasons for defeat and three main reasons why we don't move forward and we're stagnant in the Christian life. And this is the reasons, the three. Look up here. Trying to keep the law, which is old covenant, relying on flesh, which is self, and I'm going to say residual sins of unbelief, which is unrenewed, having an unrenewed mind in certain areas. Okay, so I'm going to read Romans 7:15 now, and then we're going to open our service in prayer. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn there. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. The testimony of Pastor Johnson, what an awesome thing. He realized that it's not about him, it's about you living through him. I pray, Lord, today we look at this, you could open our hearts and minds, speak through my lips, so we have a greater understanding that victory is from you as our source of living. Lord, help us to learn that today. It's all through you and our union with Christ, which is you. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So all the past several messages, I always bring up the first part of the Romans. What is the gospel? We always forget what the gospel is. The nuts and bolts of the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I have delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel is simply this: Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ was resurrected. That's an offer of spiritual life, and when you believe it, the Holy Spirit instantaneously fills your heart. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the gospel that people are missing. People are spiritually dead. They need to know about Jesus Christ. Amen? Doesn't matter what country it is. They need it in Africa. They need it in New Jersey. They need it in this country. But the book of Romans unfolds all that. What's underneath that, which is a lot of stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. Romans 1, Romans 2, all these wonderful verses, right, we looked at. The gospel is the power of salvation for deliverance. Romans 1:16-17. Okay? The gospel, grace, God's grace leads to repentance. Romans 2:4, we looked at that, right? He doesn't strong arm you. He gives you a free will to choose him. He says, come to me, my grace will have you will change your mind about me. We looked at Romans 3:23-24. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know God's standard is perfect, 100% holy. We can never meet that standard. We're in sin. Romans 4:3. This guy Abraham, remember him? Old covenant Abraham. He believed and it was credited to him as righteousness, which means he believes like we believe. That's a new covenant believer. Amen. Romans 5:17. Talks about being in Adam, being in Christ. In Adam, all have sinned. There's no excuse. Everybody is in that same DNA, brothers and sisters. When you're born today, you are born in Adam, spiritually dead. You need life. Romans 6:5 talks about being united to Christ in his death, being united to Christ in his resurrection. We are in union with him, and that old man has died because we are died with Christ and have risen with him. See, that's a huge thing. The power of sin is broken, amen? The power of sin is broken. We never talk about that. Nobody told me that for 15 years, brothers and sisters. But the Lord told me. Romans 6:12-13, wonderful, a couple weeks ago. Offer yourself. Offer yourself to God as a way to grow. Offer yourself to him. There's no fear in approaching God. You know what? That's old covenant. We're in the new. Then last week we looked at you died to the law and you've united to Christ to bear fruit for God. So that's what we're up to now, guys. Now we're at Romans 7:14-25, and I'm going to go to 7:15. Now, Paul experiences a lot of defeat. He says, I'm trying to do what I want to do, and there's no victory. And he says it three times in these verses, from 14-25. 7:15 says the key verse of this whole message today. What I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. We've been there, right? We've all been there, right? Romans 7:18, second part. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. Same thing. Romans 7:19. For the good I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Have you experienced that? I have. I sure have. Now, I grew up in North Jersey, and I tell you, I grew up in the 70s. I can tell you my age. Back then, we didn't have, really cool audio today, like YouTubes and all that. Basically, we have was cassette players and albums, vinyl albums with a record player.
Yeah.
Okay. So back in those days, a good friend of mine built this wonderful home, and his father put in, like, I think, 12 speakers in his house, took to the stereo. So we take our record, I think it was like 2,000 watts, it was crazy, right? And we put the stereo on a lot. This is great, man. I'm 15. This is awesome, right? But you know what? Back then, I didn't work. I made very little money. So we decided, you know, we needed to get the newest albums, right? The newest guys that were out. So we said, well, we don't have any money. What are we going to do? So we came up with a plan. I hate to say it. The plan was we were going to steal albums. So it, people that grew up in where I live know what I'm going to say, where we were. But there was a store. It was like a Kmart. It's called Grand Light.
Yep.
There was an area where they had all the albums by a door. And the door was locked, but there was a little gap between the door, about this big. We would take the album, and we'd say, what album we want? We'd walk over to the door, slip it through the crack, walk through the exit. I would actually steal anything through the exit, right? Because I didn't have anything. Go outside, take the album, put in a jacket, and run. Okay? We did this for years. I wasn't very good, was I? Did this for years. Went on for about 2 years. Until one time I did it, and I got this. Security guard. Rob runs. They couldn't catch me because I was fast back then. But I stopped doing that. But you know, and I gotta say, why did I do that?
Really?
I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be accepted by those guys. Okay? I wanted to be in the group. I wanted to be accepted by another person, by my guy, my friend, right? So I did what was wrong. Now, if I would have understood a wonderful truth about my identity in Christ, which I didn't know back then. Brothers and sisters, I grew up in the Catholic Church. It didn't teach anything about that. I just knew really nothing there. But if I would have known my identity in Christ, and I would have said, I'm accepted by Christ, I wouldn't have done that. Okay? But you know what? I didn't know it. I didn't know it, and we've all been in that same boat where we don't know our identity, when we don't know our union with Christ, when we don't know what we have, we do things that aren't right. So Paul has said we've died to the power of sin, we've died to the law, okay? He told us to offer ourselves to God. He said you have residual patterns of sin. You can overcome them by him revealing truth. And now we come to this point in Romans 7:14 where he starts with this verse about the law, about the flesh, and about sin. He says, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. So Paul says it again, the law is spiritual. Now, what is the law? Right? We talked about this. 613 do's and don'ts. Right? The law is spiritual. There's a lot of reasons and a lot of purposes for a law. You can read up here. The law leads men to Christ. You know, in Galatians it says the law is a tutor that leads you to him because you can't keep it, brothers and sisters. But once you're under faith and under Christ, there's no need for the law. We looked at last week, 7:5 of Romans, it arouses sin. You know what? People forget this. The more we try to keep the law, it arouses more sin. It diagnoses the need for spiritual life. You know what? Romans 3:21-23. You know what? All have fallen short. You can't keep the standard. It's by faith you are declared righteous. Amen? That tells you that in Romans. It's no longer required when the old self is crucified, right? Romans 6:15 says you're no longer under law, but under grace. Amen. Has no jurisdiction over you because you've been crucified and risen with Christ. Paul said it in Romans 7:1 last week. But it's still in operation for the unsaved, 1 Timothy 1:9, to lead them to Christ. And it's holy, 7:12 of Romans. So we know about the law, but Paul didn't talk too much about it. It's really interesting. I looked at this whole thing. Paul didn't talk much about the flesh yet in Romans. And he didn't even talk about the Holy Spirit much in Romans yet either, but he will next week in the next chapter 8. But he talks about this thing, I am of the flesh. Well, what is the flesh? Well, New NIV calls it being unspiritual. King James calls it being carnal. The definition I will give you today of flesh is this. It's patterns of living in an attempt to get one's need met We're living independently of God from one's own resources. We have this thing called flesh. We have developed this thing called flesh through trying to get our needs met in things, other things, and living independently from our source of God. We've developed this thing called flesh. Paul said it. Paul knows it. He says, I am of the flesh. But then he says, I'm sold into bondage of sin. Well, how could that be? Right? He's already saved, right? So this is where it comes a little confusing for me, and I think for all of us, because this verse seems to indicate that if he is in the bondage to sin, he is still unregenerate. So these verses may be perhaps referring to it, unregenerate Paul or regenerate Paul. So I'm not going to get in that debate, and I know we've talked about it Elvin back there. Yes? So I'm going to say I don't know, but it's probably both, because the point is, if you can't do what you want to do, certain things, saved or unsaved, it's the same result. So that's all I'm going to leave that. It's a defeated approach, okay? We try to live our lives by doing these things. And I'm going to go through each point, okay? 3 points. We struggle to experience the life of Christ. We feel like we're between a rock and a hard place. Paul is doing what he doesn't want to do. He's choosing things. He doesn't know how to overcome sin. So the first thing he says, I love this verse, Romans 7:16. The reason for defeat is trying to keep the law, which is old covenant. 7:16 says, but if I do the very thing I don't want to do, I agree with the law, confessing the law is good. Now, think about that verse. If I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing the law is good. So in other words, Paul is saying that this thing, law, is producing in him something called doing something wrong. I do the very thing I don't want to do. I agree with the law. He's not saying I agree that the law gives me guidelines to live. He's not saying the law helps me live the Christian life. He's not saying the law is doing that. He's saying the law is good because it's making me do or somehow influencing me to do what I don't want to do. Now, how is that? How is that? Because the law instills, the law arouses sin. Okay? Paul said it, Romans 7:4, I've died to sin, I've been united to Christ. And I want to do the very thing I want to do because of the law. So this is a defeated approach, brothers and sisters. Paul knows his old self needed to die. And I guess, you know what, when you keep following and trying to do and trying to do, it arouses your sinfulness. The only way you can get out of that deal is your old self has to die. Romans, yeah. Right? Romans 6, you need to be risen with Christ. That's Paul's point here. It arose sin so heavily in his life, he had to die. His old self had to die. His old man had to die. He had to be resurrected with Christ. That's the point he's trying to make here. Okay? So the law is holy. The law is good because it points man to Jesus Christ. You can't keep the law, and the sinfulness aroused by the law can't be overcome unless that old self is dies and risen with Jesus Christ. That's Paul's point, and that is an awesome thing, is it not? But why do we keep trying to keep it? Why? Romans 10:4 says, we'll get to this in a couple weeks, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Why do we still think this is a big issue, guys?
Yes.
Why do we still think we need to keep it when he says we've died to it? Why? We've been united to Christ, right? Paul 7:4 says, you've been united to him and you will bear fruit for God. You've died to it. But we don't want to let it go. Do we? We don't want to let it go. And our brothers and sisters, this brother understood to let it go. Mm-hmm. This brother understood it's not about self. And he sees the power of Christ. Amen? He sees the power of the Spirit because, you know, when you try to do that, I will tell you, in a church, it stifles the Holy Spirit. When everybody in the, not the leaders especially, but if the church is all around doing that, the Spirit is kind of like bottled up, man. It wants to go. But until you realize it's not about that, it's about your union with Christ, the Spirit moves. I was telling the guys in our group, right, yesterday, a couple of days ago, I said, I felt like we were kind of like going like this. Now we're going like this because, guys, the Spirit's working. Because we've realized wonderful truths. But you know what? We've been ingrained as a kid to follow the law, follow the rules. right? When you were a kid, you followed the rules of your parents. When you went to school, you followed the rules from your teacher, right? When you're at your job, you follow the rules for your job. Yeah. God gave the law to Israel in the Old Covenant. That's a bunch of rules, 613 rules, right? To show them they can't keep it. Okay? To show them they can't keep it. You can't keep it. They couldn't keep it. Only Jesus Christ could keep it. But you know what? This approach has been ingrained into us from the time we were a kid to even as we're saved, we still, for some reason, decide we need to do this, right? Because we've been ingrained in our system. It's a flesh pattern. You know what? The other thing is we have fear. We have fear to let go. We got fear. So I can't not have a rule. I can't just go to God and say, hey, God, you're my source of life. I'm going to let you live through me. We're afraid. God says, no. No, come to me. You're joined to me. I'll live through you. Don't worry about that law anymore. Amen? Amen. Amen. There's no fear. Come to Christ. Offer yourself to him. He works through you. It's not about rules. I think 80% of Christians in this country think Christianity is rules. That is a lie from the devil that keeps the Spirit from moving. Amen? The Spirit won't move if we keep doing that. You know. You've seen it. I've seen it. We've died to the law. It no longer has jurisdiction over us. Amen. You know what? Before the cross, we were under the law. After the cross, we're under grace. Let's just plainly think of it and say it and rest in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because when we do, we are in defeat. And we're in defeat. And we're in defeat. And it's so sad. I talked to other pastors who was previous in this church a year, a couple of days ago. He's in another church in Pennsylvania. Same deal. No victory. No movement. Spirit doesn't work. No evangelism. Nothing happening. Why? Because we want to keep the law. No, brothers and sisters. God says, come to me. Rest in me. Connect to me. You've been united to me. I'm going to work through you. That's how it works. But we try. So we don't want to do that anymore. Right, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Second point. Rely on our flesh. Now, 7:18, the first part says, Paul said, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, my flesh. Now, flesh, he introduced this idea of flesh now in Romans, right now. And I said, it's patterns of living, an attempt to get one's needs met, or living independently of God from one's own resources. We develop these patterns, okay? I got to tell you, the longer I'm a pastor and been an elder and leader all these years, a strong, strong motivator of sin is this thing called flesh to get our needs met, okay? Our five core needs, love, acceptance, value, worth, and significance. The core needs of man were provided 100% in the garden. Remember that? And as soon as Adam sinned, it was ripped away. There's no more 100, you know, love, being loved. You know, feeling that love of God. We're searching for that, being in Adam, being spiritually dead. And even as a Christian, we're searching for it because we don't know it's in Jesus Christ. Okay? People will sin, horrible sins, to get their need met of love, acceptance, value, worth, and security. Think about it. What will they do? They'll murder somebody. They will. They'll commit adultery, right? They'll do immoral things. They'll do drugs. They'll steal. They'll do anything they can to get love, acceptance, value, worth, and security. Brothers and sisters, that is only found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Before you're saved and after you're saved. Okay? I was unsaved when I stole those albums, guys. If somebody would have told me I'm accepted by Jesus, I would have said, guys, I'm not doing it. Sayonara, I'm out of here. But I went along with the crowd, and that's what we do, right? That's what we do. There's nothing good in our flesh. These are patterns we've developed to get our needs met. And guys, church people are real good at this thing called positive flesh.
Yep.
It looks real good on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. He's such a spiritual guy. But you know what? The source of that is not from God. That's another deception in the church today. People look godly. Behind the scenes, they're a mess. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
They don't rely on Jesus Christ. The Spirit never moves. The church is dead. That church is dead, but it looks great to the outside. Look at that church has 1,000 people. Really? Is it a flesh fest, brothers and sisters? It could be.
Oh.
Unless the Spirit, not saying anything about any white person, but unless the Spirit's moving and the Spirit's working in that leadership, that church is dead. Dead. That's a doornail. Okay? Flesh is a very, very, very strong motivator. We want to look good, right? We want to be significant, right? We want to be loved, right? Now, what about the church? You know what? We gather as a church, and everybody in this church, myself included, elders, pastors, deacons, church members, all have this thing called flesh, right? What happens when we have a group of people together that meet every week in different times that have flesh as we meet together as a family of God? What happens? Well, what happens? If I think my need will be met in you, okay, and you think your need will be met in me, we're going to go down a road of disappointment and conflict.
Amen.
Because I can never meet your need.
That's right.
You can't meet my need. So why are we trying to do that, brothers and sisters? That's not what God says.
That's right.
God says, the core need of the wonderful innermost core need, love, acceptance, value, worth, is through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should do. But the church needs to teach this. Okay? The church needs to teach its members, the church, which is a community of believers, the ecclesia, okay? Not for the purpose of fulfilling innermost needs or core needs, okay? But to be there for each other, to pray for each other, to encourage each other. But not to be a place where we believe our need or innermost need can be met. Okay? Because we are incapable. I cannot meet your need. I'm incapable. I'm a human being. So I'm the pastor. So what? So we have a deacon. So what? They can't do it either. The goal, the point, is only Jesus Christ. He has to reveal that to you. The church needs to teach this, okay? That one's identity in Christ. Identity. He loves you. It's Him. The inner union. You're in union with Him. The grace of Christ and the great commission of the church. You know, the church forgot about the great commission, brothers and sisters. Go out in all the world and make disciples, right? Preach. We forgot about that. But I'm not forgetting about it, and he hasn't forgotten about it. Because, brothers, he wants it not forgotten, and I want it here, and I want it everywhere. Because you know what? We forgot about the great commission, did we not? Did we not? Because we're too comfortable, right? We want to stay in our flesh and our comfort zone, right? No. We need to share the gospel through all the nations. They need to know grace, amen? We can't keep it to ourselves. This is bigger than us. You know what? But I'm going to challenge us, and not so much maybe in this church, but other churches that are listening to me, my challenge. Rather than spending so much energy and trying to get others to love us, accept us, not reject us, might we consider going to God and asking Him to reveal the lies we're believing? What? Considering the flesh we've developed to expose it, the root cause of it, the way we feel, so He can tell us He will meet the need and give us the truth. We have the source. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go to Him. Okay? I can't. I can point you. I can show you. I can encourage you. But until He tells you, and it's in here, I can't do anything with that, brothers and sisters. There's studies, and we've seen it in our groups, right? Where people are under counseling for years and years and years and years, and they say nothing's progressing. And then the guy says, ask God, the counselor, ask God to show you the truth. And then the person gets the truth. And then the counselor says, I've been telling you that for 10 years. But He told me this time. Yes, that's right. He can tell you. He communicates spirit to spirit. We have a power source, amen? That's Jesus Christ. He's in us. We're in union with Him. Amen? But the church, people are hurting. I understand. People want to get their needs, but I understand. But they come to church. We have to be careful because we can't meet their need. To really help somebody, we have to point them to Jesus Christ. Please. Please do that. Because the devil will cause division every time with this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that person doesn't like me. I'm leaving the church.
That's right.
I'm just trying to point you to Jesus Christ. I love you. How many people just leave because they don't think you like me or you hurt me? Guys, it's not about that. The way to help somebody is to point them at Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the source. He's the one who'll get rid of that flesh. But we rely on it until we finally get it through our minds not to rely on it. and get the truth of God, we're stuck. We're stuck. We're stuck. Amen. Let's move on past that. Third reason for defeat. Sins of unbelief. Unrenewed mind. So now, no longer am I the one doing it. And Paul says, the sin which dwells in me. That's, I call it residual sin. Romans 7, 20 and 23 says, well, if I am doing the very thing I don't want, I am no longer the one doing it. But the sin which dwells in me. I find that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Sin has been broken. Sin is in us. It's residual, but it's not you. Get it through your head. Mind. Sin is in you, but it is not you. It's residual. It's left over. It's old belief systems. God's replacing those with truth, and we move forward, and we have victory. But there's a war because that unbelief wants to stay there. The answer is to renew our minds, trust in the truth, and turn unbelief into belief, and that is victory, brothers and sisters. You can ask God anytime through your spirit to reveal to you a truth, and he will do it, amen, just like that. The point is, do you believe it? Right? Do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, you're still stuck. Okay? In sin and defeat. But the victory, Paul says it, is in Jesus Christ. Romans 7, 24 to 25 says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one. So then, on the one hand, I find myself serving the law of God. On the other hand, with the flesh, the law of sin. Then I'm going to go to second part 7:4, which was last week. Might be joined to another who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. You know what? The victory is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Are you still between a rock and a hard place? Do you know the way out of it? Jesus Christ is the way out of it. Don't listen to these old teachings, these old Christians that you think are wise. Maybe not. Just keep the law. That's going to help. No, it's not. No, it's not. I've heard it my whole Christian life until the Lord said, no, it's not. Okay? Trust me. There's no fear. Don't listen to the guys who say, hey, just trust yourself, man. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do it. No, you can't. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You cannot overcome sin in yourself. It's Jesus Christ through you. Don't go there. He will show you these mechanisms of things you've come up with through your life to deal with getting these core needs met. And you know what? He says, if you could get your love met, and even in marriage, guys, your spouse, you can. Really. It's through him. He works through each spouse to each other. Same thing. And then sins of unbelief. You know what? We go to God. We ask him to renew our minds. Just getting knowledge from the Bible is okay, but until it's renewing our mind and we trust it, there's no change or no transformation. That's what we need to ask. Amen? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is our union with Christ. The answer is our source of living and transformation is Jesus Christ. Until we understand, we'll be stuck in sin and defeat, trying to do all these things which are putting us between a rock and a hard place, right? God says, get out of that. Choose me. Amen? Jesus is the source. Not you. Not the law. Okay? And not that sin that's in you. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to close this in prayer. And my wife is going to, and we're going to sing one more song. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that we're just like Paul. Struggling. Trying to live the Christian life. Doing the things we don't want to do. Thank you, he gave us the path to victory, which is you. You as the source. You as our victor. You are the one who will change us from the inside out. It's all about you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that if we still hold on to that law, that you would just show us it's useless as a Christian. We've passed that. I pray, Lord, if we're still holding on to some flesh pattern, I say you pray, Lord, you would expose it. That it'd be something that we need to have a renewed mind. I pray, Lord, if there's some kind of residual, habitual sins, Lord, you would show us them. Give us the truth, and I pray we would trust you, offer ourselves to you, which is our sanctification, which is our growth, which is our maturing. That's what you want. That's what we need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name.